Jay, it appears that there's a tropical storm incoming. Are you ready?
Ready or not, here it is.
Okay, but do you have Taster's Choice in your cup?
I do not.
Okay, good. Because that's disgusting.
We here in beautiful Alpharetta have the luxury of having a Valor Coffee, which will change your world.
Yeah, Valor Coffee, those folks are really great.
I texted one of my friends this morning after I got a cup, and I said, every time I have a cup of Valor Coffee, I question all my other coffee choices in life. Like, why even do it?
To be fair, where I live up in Jasper, we have some good coffee houses.
And interesting. I wouldn't call that.
Yeah, it's, well, a lot of them are relatively new, which has been nice.
Interesting.
Because Valor was definitely my go-to for quite a while.
Yeah, and then the pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I've missed them.
Yes. It's
so rare that I'm down here now.
Yes.
To get to enjoy their delicious hot coffee.
And anyone driving through Alpharetta, it's a strong recommendation.
Yes.
Really. I mean, you won't be disappointed by the staff or the actual product. It's amazing.
It's superior. And superior. And to be clear, they are not sponsoring this podcast.
No. I mean, I'll take a sponsor, but I don't think they're definitely not.
Yeah. We just love them. This is the Experience Lab, the official podcast of digital scientists from Atlanta, Georgia. We're an experience lab that explores and builds digital products. My name is Rob Hall, and I'm the Senior Director of Product at DS.
And I'm Jay Cosgrove, Senior Product Manager.
Thanks for listening. So today we're having a discussion about staff augmentation. We want to talk about what that phrase actually means because it carries with it a number of interesting connotations. So let's take just a quick second before we dive in and define clearly what staff augmentation means. And I think the definition that we might agree on is just the act of taking your team and making it larger.
Yep.
Faster than what it takes to typically hire new employees with less overhead risk.
Yep.
So I'm going to utilize typically a staffing agency of some form, and I'm going to request 10 developers or 3 designers or 10 product managers, whatever it is, based on the volume and based on an hourly rate.
Yep.
So I'll have a contract that may have an overall kind of target number of how many hours are being contracted per month and a headcount.
Exactly.
If I'm a product owner, for example, let's take, what's a good example that we can use and not get in trouble with? So, okay, let's just say I'm a SaaS company,
yes.
Right? I've built a team, I've built a product from the ground up, and we're generating millions of dollars in revenue each year. Why in the world would I want to take some portion of my product and have a team of people that I don't even know, potentially overseas or here stateside, but are not actually my employees? Why would I want them come on board my team in a contractor type relationship, not as an employee, to contribute to the product that I'm trying to build?
I think the most common answer to this is increase in velocity. So if you're successful in the description you just gave with your product and you're wanting to add more features in, it takes a while to hire and it takes a while to train. And if you already have an existing relationship with a staff aug agency, then it's probably a lot easier to strike up a contract with them and get the headcount that you need to build the feature that you need.
So scaling staff.
Yeah, scaling staff, I think. The nature of staff augmentation and how I would probably define it is that you're hiring a team to do what you say and not really do a ton of thinking on their own. And it's not to say that every relationship is that way. There's certainly lots of good, healthy staff augmentation models that are more contract terms than they are actual in relationship of how they relate to one another. But at the end of the day, you're hiring headcount and you're not really hiring someone on to do a project, even though it might be for a project. You're hiring them to really do what you say and you're going to manage them.
You talk about it being difficult to hire new employees.
Right.
Right. So if you think about the difference between an employee, your traditional employee relationship versus a contractor relationship. There's a greater degree of commitment to an employee.
Exactly.
Than there is a contractor.
Potentially more cost too.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. There's more cost, particularly with taxation and health benefits and things like that.
Yeah, definitely.
You mentioned velocity, and that's something we've experienced before at Digital Scientist, where even the work we were doing, being an agency that's typically in a work-for-hire relationship, where our clients decided to take work they were sending to us and send it to a staff augmentation group under the guise of getting to move faster. What have we actually experienced with that? Does the intended result happen?
It really depends on the project, I think. But most of the time, and this is the reason staff aug kind of gets a bad name for itself, it's not going to turn out super well. Mainly for the agency. And it really depends on how the agency is set up, though.
You're referring to the staff augmentation agency?
Exactly, okay. Yeah. And so, and this kind of goes into our next point here a little bit, but agencies will have a variety of models that they sell. You know, so we can do a full project, we can do all the thought work, we can do just the dev work, we can do the design work. There might be different deliverables or services or approaches that they take, whatever you want to call it. And when you go to the place of hiring out your staff, then that really is when it turns into staff aug. And at that point, you're pretty much giving your team members to someone else to manage in a very highly integrated way into their culture, their platform, their project, and leaving kind of the thought work or any personal ownership out of it. So the pluses of this, I would say, is that in that project, you're going to get a lot more integration potentially because they're almost treated like employees for the client. But that comes at a cost.
The cost being hiring a team with an opinion.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for, it's a terrible analogy, but in some ways it's like hiring factory workers.
Yeah.
And not that there's anything wrong with a factory worker.
Exactly.
Because they serve they serve a very important function. But the expectation is that they're doers, that they're doing a fairly prescriptive set of tasks, and there's a high degree of expectation around just volume of production. In this case, you're expected as a contract developer to come into a team and generate code.
Yep,
exactly. And not really provide a whole lot of constructive feedback or lasting value beyond the execution of that particular task.
Yeah, you're not, the plus for the agency here, and I'm probably going to seesaw between like pluses and minuses. The plus here is that there's a little risk for the actual outcome of the project on the individual contractor or staff augd member, right? Because the risk is going on the PM and the internal team, mostly in my experience, because you're really just being brought in as a team member. So as long as you do the work assigned to you, that's all you have to think about. The actual outcome, does this feature do what it needs to do? Does it serve the customer in the way that it needs to serve? Not only are you usually not even asked that question, but you are generally not held accountable for it. Which is good and bad. I mean, like you're pushing the risk onto the internal team, but also the negative of that is that you have really good ideas as an individual. And at Digital Scientist, and I'm sure so many other agencies across the world, we hired problem solvers and we want our team to think critically and always be involved and have a voice. And in staff aug, that's not always the case. What would you consider another minus here?
In my experience dealing with this issue of staff aug, there's a couple of different scenarios. And part of it is what you're talking about in terms of expectation of performance.
Right.
And that's not to say that there aren't an incredible quantity of very talented people that work for staff aug
Definitely.
Agencies. Right?
Yes. Yep.
And there's several in town here in Atlanta that have a lot of talented people working for them.
Yeah, and we work with them on other projects sometimes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's awesome.
And not just as developers. Like, I've worked with a lot of project managers mm-hmm. and product managers over the years who were contractors through an agency. And a lot of them were just very intelligent, hardworking people. The problem I see is you're not finding a real partnership that has a sense of ownership mm-hmm. over the outcome of the product. And typically, you're dealing with an agency that's billing your organization by the hour.
Yep.
So it's $80 an hour.
Yeah.
$95 an hour, whatever it is.
Yep. For those that remember our contract discussion, this would be more than likely going to be a time and materials contract.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so, also harkening back to our OKR conversation, mm-hmm. and looking at the desired performance outcomes,
right,
for the organization. If you're an employee or even an entire team that's in a staff aug situation that's billing by the hour, that's really your only metric.
Exactly.
Is, yep, am I fulfilling these tasks over a certain amount of time?
Yeah. Are your hours in?
Exactly. Yep. And so there's no real consequences other than the contract coming to an end.
Yep.
There's also no additional upside either.
Yeah.
Right.
Not really.
So you as a contractor, or as a contracted team, could perform really good work and,
right,
and help drive those outcomes, but you don't stand to gain any of the upside either.
Yeah. And we talked about this in the time and materials contract episode, is when you perform really well, you find efficiencies, you find ways to outperform your estimates. You're actually hurting your own company because you're billing less hours potentially for that. And again, this all comes down to how it's scoped. You know, you may have a project where you're guaranteed 40 hours, whether you have 40 hours worth of work or not. At that point, it's probably more of a retainer, but still, you might have some kind of weird hybrid contract. But like Rob's saying, there's a lot of the time just not a lot of upside to it.
Upside's an interesting thing, right? So can the owner of a staff augmentation agency generate a great degree of profit?
Yes.
As the owner of that company? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you're selling labor.
You're selling labor.
Right? You're not necessarily selling thought work.
Yep.
You're not necessarily selling strategy.
Yep.
And just selling people by the hour.
And you're potentially hurting culture. A big thing I've seen is team morale. So when you have a team, and as a PM, you're very aware of this because this is part of your job, the morale of the team is a really big deal, right? And you got to keep spirits up, especially when projects are really tough or timelines are really tough. And when you're staff augging your team, that is totally out of your control. And the day-to-day work culture is mostly dictated by your client. So again, you could have a situation where you have a great client and it works perfectly, but that's generally the minority of times. Because if a client is asking for staff aug, what they're pretty much saying is, let me do the thinking for you and just give me your dev team and or your design team and to do the work that I dictate. And that, just in a statement by itself, like Rob's saying, kind of reeks of not being much of a partnership, and really just more of a, you know, I'm not ready to hire employees yet and you guys are more or less expendable, but we'll use you for the time being.
What are some concrete examples of where it does make sense to hire a team in this traditional staff augmentation model, where the request is not, I have this problem that I'm trying to solve, but rather I need 10 developers.
I mean, if you're part of a big SaaS org, like you said, and you're the PM, then honestly, this could be you looking for staff aug. And in that case, if you've got a good culture and you're aware of all these things that we're saying for the staff on the other end that you might be hiring, I think that makes sense. It's back to velocity, really. It's like you're wanting to improve it. You're wanting to bring on the team. And maybe there's a glimmer of hope on the other side of like, well, if this works really well, you know, we could bring on some of the staff full time, or we could acquire the company. You know, there's a lot of options of how this stuff goes. But the main point is, you're bringing on team members quickly that are generally highly skilled and have some sort of guarantee from the agency that you're hiring them from that they're going to perform in a certain way. And then it's also expendable based on the terms of the contract. I think a good question after that too is, what is the potential pluses for an agency selling staff aug? Because sometimes you're kind of forced into a corner to do it, honestly.
Yeah. So it's interesting. We've been on kind of both sides of this debate before. I can think of one case where our team was hired by a client to really focus on driving value, right? Not just completing a set of tasks,
right,
but to create certain outcomes for a startup that we were doing work with. And the company at some point had come to the conclusion that they could get more done faster and for less money if they just hired a big group of developers overseas and offshore all of the work. Well, 6 months later and several hundred thousand dollars and zero delivery, they came back to us and said, we need help. We're right. in serious trouble.
There's the accountability thing, right?
That's that accountability thing.
Yep.
But it's also process and methodology.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you can throw 50 developers at a problem
yeah.
and hope that something comes out the other side. But without good process, good methodology, mm-hmm. and good culture, you're going to have a harder time accomplishing great work. And so given more runway, could that team have delivered? Eventually, yes, they would have.
Right.
But they didn't have an endless amount of resource to continue spending and continue iterating and hoping that it just got better.
Yep.
And so part of it's a tactical problem.
Yep.
It's how fast do I need to move? How mission critical are these things that I'm trying to accomplish?
Yep.
For us, we've employed contractors before
sure.
for certain tasks that we know have a limited shelf life or things that need to be done very quickly.
Yep.
That don't justify bringing in a new full-time employee. I think that's a very common reason for that. I mean, we've even had just administrative people hired on a contract basis before.
And I think there is a little bit of a difference between bringing on contractors and staff aug as a model, you know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to get at here is if you're an agency and you're listening to this and considering, you know, some sort of agreement where the client is specifically asking for a staff aug situation is what are the pros and cons to that? What am I going to get or what am I going to lose by potentially doing it? And for us, how we define that is really if the client is willing to pay for a PM being on board or not.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
It is funny. But
literally,
it's true.
We will not staff a project because we've drawn a line in the sand on staff aug. We won't staff a project without a PM. And that's pretty much what we say is like the PM is really supposed to own the vision and, you know, have the culture of the team, the process of the team encapsulated in that person.
That's right.
And if they're not there, then it turns quickly into staff aug because someone else is managing our team.
So let's try to put this in context for a product owner or a VP of product or a chief product officer at a software company who's trying to drive innovation, who's mm-hmm. having a hard time keeping their team aligned, maybe struggling with velocity,
yep.
and needs a team to deliver. What in your view, Jay, is the better choice? Is it, let me find a contracting firm that can get me more people, I'm just going to throw more bodies at the problem?
Right.
Or do I want a team with a process, a team with well-rounded capabilities that can come in, tackle a problem, and grind it to a pulp and deliver something?
Yeah.
What makes more sense?
Well, it's probably obvious that I'm going to say not the staff aug version of it.
I didn't really set that up like it was a, you know,
yeah, hard
gee,
decision
let me
there.
Think.
Yeah. But I will preface it. Because if I was in some sort of startup situation and I was considering it, the only time I'd probably consider it more of a staff aug model is if I trusted almost with my life that agency that had and probably knew the developers and had or designers and had worked with them personally. That would be the only time that I would truly consider it. The majority of the time I would say no. And this is what we sell day in and day out when we talk to people is that when you're bringing on us, you're bringing on not just developers and designers and individuals, but you're bringing on a process and a culture and a group of team members that know how to work together and know how to get things done professionally. And that is hard to find. I mean, the more that you grow as a PM and in the software industry in general, you're going to realize things like culture, communication, professionalism are actually really, really, really hard to have, especially within a team.
You might absolutely
have,
are.
Yeah, you
they
might have.
They take so much time to build and
so
develop.
So much time. Yeah. And you might have them on the individual. You might have a couple really good individuals in that staff aug company that that are that way. But do you have the cohesion, especially if you're mixing them in with your team? And that's the thing is like when you hire DS, you're getting a team that is so used to working together.
Yeah.
So used to leaning into each other, into their strengths and knowing their weaknesses and just being aware of that and working very quickly. We work very quickly on a lot of our projects, especially MVPs.
See, now you're getting kind of salesy.
I am getting a little salesy, but you're getting someone that is able to do that. And so if I was in that seat, it would depend on the phase of the project. in the staff aug company, but if I was on the seat of a SaaS PM or chief product officer or something like that, those would be the things I'm considering. Just like you used in your example too, I have the infrastructure inside of my company, like a PM, that is, can be a boss and just run this team, build the culture very quickly, lay out the rules, have a dev team on my side that's able to translate our, you know, guidance, our level. Right. Do I have that? And if not, then I'm bringing on a team that is used to doing that already.
Sure. Together. That's fair. That's fair. So three things to consider if you are a product leader and you're trying to make a decision between hiring a team with a defined process or employing more people at potentially great cost and substantial onboarding time, or going for the staff aug model. Consider the value, number one, consider the value of hiring a team with a process and a method and a culture.
Yep.
Think about the importance of team discipline, team cohesion. Think about how hard it is in your own organization to create that.
Yeah.
And know that it doesn't come out of a vacuum.
Definitely.
Second, focus on the outcomes, not just the features that you need built.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how the team that you're hiring can focus on delivering against those outcomes.
Yeah.
And then in terms of cost, orient your cost expectations toward the value that the team is delivering.
Yep. Even if you don't right now, that's ultimately what you want your dollars going towards, right? Is value.
That's right.
And we get so in our spreadsheets and looking at hourly rates and all that kind of stuff that we lose sight of that value so quickly. But it is really what we're all striving towards. I'll give a couple points if you're an agency and you're considering offering staff aug. Some things you want to consider are your company culture and how intact that can be. You obviously have to make the hard decision between revenue for your company.
Sure.
And especially right now, you know, not everyone is as blessed as DS has been over since February. But that is a very real thing. Sometimes you just have to do staff aug to keep the lights on.
For sure. But if you value your company culture, you have to be discerning about how it could affect it.
Yeah. And I would really question what you want to do and want to be as an overall agency. Do you want to be a thought leader? Do you want to drive value? Or do you really just want to employ developers and designers that get things done? And it's not necessarily wrong if you answered on the latter side
sure.
of it. But it's just being very clear about that upfront, I think, is important. It's important for you when you sell, and it's also important for your team to know when they're coming on of what you're going to sell, the type of work that you're going to bring in for them.
Thank you for listening to the Experience Lab from Digital Scientists. To learn more about our team and the great work we do, or even hire us, visit our website at digitalscientists.com.